Before I read the scripture, look, God is doing something here today. God is doing some great things here today. I am aware of the time. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what time it is. But some of you do have an obligation. You have made some kind of commitment that you need. If you, please don't take this the wrong way and please don't be offended. But if you need to leave at noon, would you please go now? That is not meant to hurt anybody's feelings. But God is doing something here today that does not need to be interrupted. And I understand if you've made a commitment. Please, please don't be offended. But if you need to go, please do. Okay. I want you to stand as you are able. If you can't stand, put your hand over your heart. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, the word of the Most Holy God says this: Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Let's read that all together. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. There are people in this congregation today that need a word of encouragement, because it's a rough life. You know, it's a great life if you don't weaken, but it's a rough life. And if you yourself are not going through a hard time, you know somebody who is going through a hard time, and your heart aches for them. And you want to be able to help them. That is what the book of 2 Thessalonians is all about. Thessalonians is a great book of encouragement. And instead of reading the entire book, we're reading the essence of that book. Brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing what is right. Or as the King James says, doing good. Because, folks, it'll wear you out. You know, when the journey begins, when we're first saved, when we rededicate our life, when we are given some sort of revelation, it is energizing. Lord, don't you love new Christians? I love new Christians because they want to tell everybody they meet about Jesus. And they're so enthused, and they've got that energy. And yeah, the path, you got to watch because you can trip, but it's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful, wonderful journey that we're on. But folks, while there are many beautiful parts to the journey, occasionally we go through the desert. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is addressing a church that is undergoing persecution. He said, he begins this by saying, I thank God for you that you are growing both spiritually and in your love for one another. You're growing. You are changing good to good to good. And all that is happening. Well, the devil don't like that. And persecutions began to happen. People in their own families, their neighbors, those they did business with, don't want anything to do with those Christian people. Persecution still happens It's a little more subtle today. But in the scheme of the world, when we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of years that human beings have been on this planet, the persecution of Christianity has never been as bad as it is right now. Because it is so pervasive and so subtle. No, if you're a Christian, that doesn't mean that, you know, usually they're not going to shoot you, although in some countries they will. But in America, being Christian, people can go, oh, you're one of those hypocrites. You're one of those Bible thumpers. You're one of those people that hate gays. You're one of those people that think that you've got all the answers. Of course, that, you know, those all those statements just prove they don't know us. But we have, I mean, we're up there with used car salesmen and, you know, what people think about us. You know, they don't trust us. And that's persecuting. And then not to mention the fact that if we didn't have these cultural pressures that were persecuting us, we have personal suffering. Suffering happens. It happens to everybody. And Paul wrote this letter to a group of people that were being persecuted, that had personal things going on in their lives that were hurting them. And he said, don't let it get you, because God gives relief. Folks, when you're walking through the desert, just take a few more steps. The oasis is there. God gives relief. Ever really been hot and thirsty? I mean, really hot and thirsty? And then drink a cool drink of water? That's what God does with our spirits. That cool drink of water in Jesus' name. That cool drink of water in the hot, dry places. It doesn't mean that you're completely out of the wilderness, folks, but you are refreshed and can move on through. The other thing that way God gives relief is the understanding that you do not have to try to get even with anybody. Because God's justice will take care of that. Pray for those that persecute you and despitefully use you. Pray for them. Because what's going to happen to them, you really don't want to happen to anybody. You don't persecute the God's anointed. You don't persecute God's children without having to pay a price for that. Let God handle it. Pray for your enemy. But God will bring relief. And understand that in your persecution, in your suffering, there is a purpose. You know, sometimes we think like, why am I going through all of this? God brings good. He didn't necessarily engineer what's happening to you, but he does strengthen you because of it. He strengthens you because of it. If I were carried all my life, if when I was a little girl and my daddy would pick me up and he'd just carry me around and I remember riding on daddy's shoulders. Now, you know, if I rode on daddy's shoulders when I was an adult, I'd have squashed him in the ground, but you know what I mean. If daddy had carried me all my life, I would have never had the strength to walk. Folks, if God carries you all your life, you're never going to have any strength to walk. It is only through resistance that muscles get strong. It is only through resistance, and sometimes that means suffering and persecution, that we get strong. And God gets the glory for that. I love it when God lets the plan come together and he gets the glory for bringing us through. In the second chapter, Paul addresses the deceivers. There's a lot of deception out there, and Christians are falling for it. You know, we are called apart from the world. Not that we're taken out of the world. We still live amongst the world, but we're called to be different from the world. If people do not know that you are a Christian by your walk and your talk, there's something wrong. You have been deceived and are living like the world lives. Your language should be different. The places you go, the movies you watch, the things that you do need to be different. If you say it's okay when you know it's not, you've been deceived. And it's a confusing world. You know, we don't know what to think anymore. And sometimes you even look at religious leaders and the message has changed. And you've got to evaluate that. Should it have changed? Maybe yes. Should it have changed? Maybe no. And there's only one way to find that out. That's all right. It's just the Holy Spirit coming in. God gives us the truth. You will not be deceived if you know the truth of God's word. Say that with me. You will not be deceived if you know the truth of God's word. Now, are we going to different interpretations? Yeah, we probably will. That's why God says to do this together, not little, just individually. Because we need to discuss it. But the truth, I promise you with every part of me, the truth is in this book. I don't have all of it, and neither do you. But it's in here. And together we can find it by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to not be deceived by the word in your heart, know what this book says. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, love the truth. You know, that sounds a little strange. Love the truth. Why do we need to love truth? Because we only love the truth if it says what we want to hear. Am I right? We love when it says what we want to hear. But if the truth convicts us, if the truth says that ain't what you're supposed to be doing, we don't want to hear that. But it says love the truth. Love and truth will banish deception and fear. Banish it. The darkness of a lie cannot stand up to even one lit candle of truth. And there's a purpose. You know, God wipe out the liars. But he will bring a purpose out of all that's going on right now, and that is lawless, the lawless one, the devil, is revealed. If you know that word, then you know when you're hearing something contrary to it. And Paul says that this, not that God will receive the glory, it says we receive the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ actually is on us when we hang on to the truth. totally cool. Now, the third chapter is about a choice that we make. You know, the world will make you weary. Let's say you've been battling persecution and suffering. Let's say you've been battling confusion and deception. And, you know, no matter what, after a while, when you've been walking, particularly if it gets a little rocky, you get tired. And you sit down. I've many times. I'm not going to make eye contact with anybody. I've seen this many times. People get wore out doing good and they say, I'm just going to sit this one out. I'm going to let them do this without me. I'm going to set this one out. Let somebody else do it. I'm just going to sit this out. The problem is when you sit down to rest is not the big issue. The big issue is you don't get back up. That's called lazy. We would like to call it something else that sounds a little better, but we can't. You get weary, you sit down, and you get lazy. You just say, you know, right here's all right. I'm just going to pitch my tent here. It's kind of like the children of Israel, you know. They got so far into the promised land, and they're just on the verge of making it exactly what it's supposed to be. And what do? They quit. They said, this is good enough. I'm sick and tired of the people of God settling for good enough. Until you have exactly what God says you have, until you are exactly in His will, folks, it just ain't good enough. Go the whole way. Don't sit down. Don't be lazy. Don't say, I'm just going to let somebody else do it. I've done my part. I have read the Word of God, and I'm sorry, folks, you don't get to retire from being a Christian. It ain't in there. You can retire from your job, but you cannot retire from being a Christian. You can't do it. It is not allowed. The only thing, and you know, I don't have other things with this. Yeah, I love that, don't you? It's just swinging. It's all right. You know, my other slides, I had something that said, this is what God will do for you when you're in this situation. And this is what God's purpose was in this situation. But if you're just being lazy, God ain't going to do nothing, and there's no purpose to it. Cannot give you something if you're being lazy. He'd like to. But He's not going to give you anything while you're just sitting there saying it's good enough. It's not going to happen. Brothers and sisters, do not become weary of doing what is right. Do not become weary of doing what is right. Because not only are we on the path, there's other people on the path, and we need to be encouraging each other on the path. We got to help each other. We got to help each other get there. Who are you helping if you're just sitting? There is a plan for this church that we are working out. We are working out our faith, as the Bible tells us to. We are reaching out to new people, as God tells us to. We are growing, as God tells us to. Our youth group is a part of that. There's all kinds of things happening that are new and exciting, and I promise you the devil don't like it. We got to stand. That's what we were talking about, standing firm. And we got to keep moving on the journey. This is one of the most critical times that this church has ever faced. There have been more professions of faith in this church since there have been since 1978, just so far this year. There have been new ministries more started this year than there have been in the last three or four put together. We are standing on the verge, and I'm telling you, folks, I'm getting sick and tired of standing on the verge. But I can't go by myself. Are you going to go with me? Are you going to go with God? You know, going with me ain't nothing. Are you going with God? Because God is taking us places, but it's going to take you saying, yes, I will do whatever God has gifted me and called me to do. Do you really want to see people get saved? Do you really want to see changes? Do you really want to make a difference in the life of this community? Do you? Are you going to do more than just give it lip service? Find a place to serve. And I don't want to hear one other person. Oh, y'all going to throw me out. Call the district superintendent. I don't want to hear one more person say, nobody asked me. I want you to step up and volunteer and ask somebody what I can do. What can I do? What can I do? Let's rehearse that. What can I do? Because a lot of people in this room will do what they're asked to do, but doggone it, we shouldn't have to ask. You need to step up and say, what can I do? Whatever God's laid on your heart that means something to you. God's doing something here today. This is the day. You need to make your decision. Are you in this thing or are you not? Are you going to work or are you not? And no whining allowed. Did you understand what I just said? No whining allowed. If things do not go the way you wished they would or the way you would have done it, I don't want to hear it. If it's that important to you, you volunteer and lead it. No more whining. If you think something needs to be changed, you stand up and change it. And I'm asking for those who are trying to change things, I want a pledge from the rest of you right now that you'll support it. Because we've had people try to change things before and they've given up because they didn't get anybody saying, way to go. What can I do to help you? It's a hard word today. But it's a word you need to hear. Because I promise you, God's doing something today. And I've got news for you. He can do it with you or without you. But I'd hate for you to miss it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.